Zondervan presents Crimson Eve, Book 3 in the Canner Lake series by Brandolin Collins, read by Buck Scherner. For Sister Number 3, Sandy Shepherd, a.k.a. Perfect Sister, because you are. It helps that you prayed for me to be born. "Shall we never, never get rid of this past?" cried he. "It lies upon the present like a giant's dead body." Nathaniel Hawthorne, The House of Seven Gables. "What is past is prologue." William Shakespeare, The Tempest. "Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account." Ecclesiastes 3:15. Introduction. Dear reader, back for more, are you? In Coral Moon, second in the Canner Lake series, I warned you that the wheels of the roller coaster on which you were about to embark just might leave Earth. For Crimson Eve, I issue a warning of another kind. This roller coaster stays on the track, all right, but it is frighteningly long, its cars stretching so far that the front one catches up to the back. Or is it that the back circles around to meet the front? Imagine being on a ride in which you do not know the start or the end, which car is pushing, which is pulling, which one drives the rickety climb to the top, the stomachless plunge to the bottom, which one determines when you stop, whether or not you've made it to safety. If you find your way off this thing, you might look about you, check your possessions. Not everyone who boards leaves with all that was brought. I'll let you decide if that is a good thing. And now, you know the drill. Keep your hands inside the car, strap yourself in tight, and don't forget to breathe. Brandolin Collins. Seatbelt Suspense. Part 1. Exposed. 1.
"Really, is a heinous murder any reason to devalue such a glorious piece of real estate?"
The words rolled off the man's tongue in a luscious British accent, and with a hint of tease, lending him a cocky James Bond air. He was dashingly handsome. A good British description, what? Dark hair, rich brown eyes, a jaw cut just so, not too square but firm. Carla Radling glanced at his left hand. No ring. But then he'd already intimated he was single. A real estate developer, he'd said over the phone yesterday. And apparently rich, although no proper English gentleman would say so. He was seeking a beautiful and private piece of property near water as a second home. And the half-page ad in Dream Houses had caught his eye. If he liked the place, he'd pay cash. To think she'd complained about the high cost of the ad. Behind them, the heavy wrought iron gates of the estate that once belonged to the late actress Edna San closed with a muted clang. Carla steered her white Toyota Camry down the impressive driveway, curving through forest. Her client, David Thornby, although James Bond fit so much better, dignified her front seat. His legs, in impeccable beige trousers, were confidently apart, his left arm draped over the console, fingers casually drumming. His navy sport jacket boasted a $1,000 weave. Carla laughed at Thornby's heinous murder remark.
"No devaluing here. But often that's what happens to the homes of celebrities caught in a scandal, or murder. Gives potential buyers the willies to picture the crime occurring in their living room."
"Technically, it didn't occur here, correct? Edna San was taken out of the home, with no one being sure exactly where she was killed."
That accent was just to die for.
"Right. The news was where they found her, not where she was killed.
But enough of this morbid topic."
"The property has only been for sale a little over a year," Carla said. "That's not a long time given its price for this area. I told..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?